It's going to be a fun day.
It reminds me, I feel like I'm the fellow leading the circus today, which I sort of feel like that sometimes at Christ Community Church, but today especially. But let a sense of fun, let a sense of adventure, let a sense of a good day come over you. And it's all right. It's all right to have good days. It's all right to have fun. It's all right to be a three-ring circus every once in a while. All right? And so we're gonna do all we can to focus ourselves on the Lord. And I invite you to do the same. Today, during the songs, during the living illustrations, we're going to have living illustrations of missions, living illustrations of dedicating our children and parenting, living illustrations of following the Lord. During this time of living illustrations, let yourself just have a good time in the Lord today. Will you do that? Hey, let the world outside run itself for a minute. It'd be all right. Ain't nothing going to fall apart because you're here for the next hour. It's going to be all good. You can relax. Sing with the band if you know the songs. Remember, we're singing to the Lord. They're not singing for us. We're not singing for them. Together, we're singing for Him because He's worthy. Okay? So let's sing to the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for the opportunity we have to come before You. And just to say thank You, to say that we love You and give You all the praise. And we do it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We need to raise up to pray to our Lord this morning. One part of this is because He is the God who saves us, and He is worthy of all praise. Y'all stand with us.
Praise is rising, eyes are turning to You. We turn to You. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for You. We long for You. 'Cause when we see You, we find strength to face the day. In Your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away.
Yeah.
I'm paused just for a second. But we're just, well, for more than a second, just for a few minutes. But it's for a good reason. The first living illustration that we have today has to do with being a witness. It has to do with getting the word of God out throughout the whole world. I want you to think about spreading any message that you had around the whole world. Think about having a goal to where you wanted every person in the world to have their own copy in their own language of the Bible. There's 7+ billion people. It's a pretty lofty goal. And I don't know if you know in your own life, but I'll share a testimony in my life. Nothing has changed me more than getting into the Word of God. When God saved me, He gave me His Word to read, to eat, to live on, and that's what I did, and He grew me. I promise I wouldn't be this big without the Word. I promise I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here speaking. Very likely I wouldn't be in a church anywhere either listening if it hadn't been for the ministry of God through His Word. Because I was lost and didn't care about being found. But the impact of His Word changed me. With that, I want to bring up Mr. Bill Russell. He is representing the Gideons this morning. He's not our only Gideon here. You already met Johnny. He's one of our Gideons. If you look back into the booth, the man standing with the nice looking beard. Yeah, I said that. I'm a beard appreciator. Paul is also one of our Gideons. And so we have some Gideons here. But right now, Mr. Russell, if you would, come on and share with us. And when Mr. Russell's done sharing, we're going to take up an offering to support the ministry, the ongoing ministry of the Gideons.
I've been wanting to give you this mic for years. Good morning to all of you. It's a great pleasure to do this. Normally I'm the fat guy that sits up there by my beautiful wife. But today I'm going to step out and be a Gideon representative. This is something that Johnny and I do a lot during the year. We speak at other churches. But today I want to speak to you. And I'm not going to do this for a long period of time. Johnny's going to kind of time me. I told him in 8 minutes to raise his hand. If his arm cramps and he can't raise his hand, you're in trouble. But otherwise, you'll be all right. The Gideons do work to distribute Bibles. This small New Testament is what we call our soul winner's Bible. And, of course, we also distribute Bibles in other forms. Johnny was talking about every time your heart beats, you get three. My heart throws PVCs a lot, so Johnny, I may get a few extra Bibles on mine. But this is our primary book that we work to get out to the lost. Because the New Testament presents Jesus' plan of salvation. And this book has several markers to help with that. It has a section that tells you the sinner's prayer and passages. It's very important to the work. That the Gideons do is important to the world. And we give out over 90 million Bibles a year, as Johnny said. Over 90 million. And the far majority of these small ones that we give out. And I want to tell you one story this morning, and then I want to ask two requests of you after the end of that. The story I want to tell you is about how one of these testaments, a little brown covered one, was given and reached a family. Johnny, I found out this morning, uses this, the opening statement of this, as, "Hi, I'm Bob." But basically, I have recently purchased the little book that is the story of Bob and their relationship with his family. Bob Benoit. And his introduction here, and the two individuals are Maria and Sean Gravely. Now, I'm going to, please bear with me, I'm going to use a few passages out of the book that Maria uses, because she does a better job than I would do it. But I'm not going to insult you by reading an entire book, I promise that. There's a couple of things about this that just you have to hear. "Hi there, my name's Bob," this man said as he approached. Hello, I replied. Beautiful day today, isn't it? Bob added. Yes, it is. I think I found the best spot in the park. Would you like to sit down? No, thank you. I can't stay, answered Bob. I'm here to tell you something. Please don't think I'm strange, but God wanted me to tell you that He loves you and that everything will be okay. Now, at that point, Bob presented this lady, Maria, with a little New Testament. Bob is at that time in his life, he was about 85 years of age. His wife was waiting in the car. He smiled and climbed up the hill back to the car, got in and left. And of course, Maria said, well, what a nice little old man. New Testament. Oh, this is a Bible. You see, Maria had been raised in a home that where she knew a little bit about religion, but nothing about spirituality and Jesus. She had had a combination home background of Jewish and Catholic. She knew a lot about the rituals of the church. But to be honest, she goes on to say later in the book, you know, I tended to think of Christians as hypocrites because I didn't have a real exposure to people who actually live what they profess to believe. She looked at her watch as Bob left, and it was 10 minutes after 2 in the afternoon there in the park in Spokane, Washington. A few minutes later, her husband and her youngest daughter walked back up, and they got in the car to leave. Her phone rang. Her son, her oldest child, 21 years of age, had been shot in a road rage accident, and he was being carried to a hospital. The local military base there had the best trauma center, and that's what they carried for care. Of course, obviously, they flew to the hospital. She got there. She said, I could barely get to him, but I just touched him and told him I loved him as they carried him on into trauma. And after many, many hours, the doctor came out, the lead physician. He said, I'm going to be honest with you. Maybe a 25% chance that he'll make it through the night. He's a very sick young man. The bullet had gone through the common bile duct of the liver, and he was hemorrhaging severely, and the spleen had been ruptured, and they had removed it. But he said, we can't stop the bleeding in the liver. We've done what we can, but it's bleeding on the backside of the liver, and we've packed gauze in him. And if he makes it through the night, we'll do further surgery. And if the liver will heal itself, he'll live. If he doesn't, he won't. And then he said something to her that really shook her. He said, are you praying people? And she said, we didn't really know how to react because really they didn't see the significance of prayer. He said, well, I want you to know this. It just so happened that today was a training day for us to hear. Normally this hospital would have one doctor in the emergency room, but today we had an entire medical team preparing to go to Iraq. So we had 10 surgeons, so many trauma nurses, the whole room said we barely could all get in there to work. But said we were all Christians, and I want you to know that we laid hands on David and prayed for him before we began to work on him. And he said, if you're praying people, we can use your prayers tonight. The David will make it. She said she sat down in the chair there, and she suffered through hours of them calling for blood, and he was the only critical patient. They were putting blood in him as fast as it could go out. They were trying to refill it. And she said over toward the morning, by the time all of her family had gathered in, the children, some of the extended family, she thought about what Bob had said to her. And she prayed to the Lord. And that's the next little passage I want to mention to you. Because, as I say, she does a much better job of this than I do. I remember asking God to give David strength to hold on. But was God listening? It's about 11:30 p.m. when the words, be still and know that I am God, came to me in the most peaceful way. I remembered the book in my breast pocket, took it out and opened it. The page facing was the beginning of Acts. My eyes found the words there where I started to read. This is from Acts 1:4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded that they're not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. And she said, I kept remembering, you have heard from me, is what Bob told me. I remember Bob said, God wants to tell you he loves you and that everything will be okay. I told you she remembered the time. It was 2:10 because they were getting ready to leave when Bob had presented that Bible to them. Well, David will recover, but it'll be many weeks of tough times and surgery that she had a lot of time to read that little New Testament and have an effect on her life. And as she read the book, she and her husband decided there's a different kind of faith that we've never been exposed to. And the Lord led them to a small church two blocks away from that house. You know, they had moved and bought a house in that neighborhood. That had not been an accident. Bob had come. That had not been an accident. And having a church, a good Christian church nearby, was not an accident either. And there they were loved and nurtured, and they both became Christians. And Bob got well. And of course, she said after this was over, and they got the police report, she couldn't help but look at it to see when David had been shot. It was 2:10 in the afternoon. 2:10, the exact time the Bible was handed. Now, as I finish up with this, I want you to think about that. There's a reason for it. It's not that you think, why would God come to somebody who's not a Christian and make this presentation? Because that Bible, what she learned with it, she carried into her family. And over 6 people in her family, including her father, her husband's father, her grandmother, or his grandmother, others that were touched and were saved by that Bible. And I told you as I finished today, I had 2 things I wanted to request of you. First thing is I want you to pray for the Gideons. And the Gideon International is an organization. We fund our organization ourselves. We don't take money to go anywhere. If we go to speak at a church, we pay the way all the way. The Gideons take money for one thing, Bible distribution. These Bibles cost us $1.25. We got it negotiated down to that because it's gone up to $1.35. That means for the round sum of $1.25, you can give a soul-winning testament to somebody. If my math is right, for $12.50, you can give 10 of these. For $125, you can give 100. We would ask you to pray in your heart and make a decision that might affect the soul of an individual somewhere in the world. I don't think there's anything you can do that is more important. With that, Brother John, I looked at Johnny and spoke to you. I'll ask you to come forward.
Thank you, Mr. Russell.
Give that back grudgingly.
Appreciate you. He had that build up for years, he said. Well, it came out really well. Yeah, thank you. We're going to take up an offering, and I'm going to ask if the ushers would come down this morning for this. This is an offering just for the Gideons. This isn't the church regular tithes and offerings. This is just for the Gideon presentation we just saw. I want to reiterate something that Mr. Russell said, something that I've seen as I've walked close to the Gideons ministry, is that when you give money to the Gideons, it all goes to Bible distribution. They don't have overhead. They don't take travel expenses, none of that stuff. You give that $1.25, it goes to it. And so just keeping that in mind, it's a ministry with integrity financially, and that's a big deal. And so I know that Paul is going to come down now, and he's one of our Gideons. Let's give a hand for Paul. He's also part of our security team, so he's doing double duty. And but we're real thankful for our men and their wives, the folks who are in the Gideons here. They're doing ministry in the name of the Lord, and it's good stuff. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. And Lord, we do love you. We give you all the praise, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You are the Word of the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your head in glory and creation, now revealed in you.
Is that the Rich Mullins song? Is that the Rich Mullins song? Thank you, Kim. We have a, it's a special time, and it's a special, it makes a special atmosphere when you have youngins in your church. When God blesses a family with children, it's a real awesome thing. Whether it's a niece, a nephew, a son or daughter, whoever, grandchild, it's pretty awesome stuff. And that same thing, that applies to the church too. When God gives us children in the church, it's a blessing. You've probably heard a lot of young voices today. We've been hearing some squawking and, some little high-pitched whining and wheezing. And can I tell you something? May Christ Community Church always have those noises. May there always be little footprints and handprints on the floor and on the wall where they ain't supposed to be. I hope we always have to put in our budget buying crayons and stuff. There's so many churches that have become full of grandmas and grandpas without any grand youngins. We don't want ever to do that. But can I tell you, that happens. That happens when we stop being a whole family. We don't want that. We want to say thank you, God, for our church family, which includes our littlest, our youngest, most vulnerable, sometimes the most precious. And I've already seen some outfits. You know, if you look around, there's some outfits y'all are going to see. There's going to be like a little fashion show going on here in a minute. But I'm going to ask, and one of the things that we do, and I want you to get this, I want you to get this right from the scripture. We're not doing anything magical. We're not putting a hedge of protection that we ourselves create around these children. What we're going to do is we're going to pray and we're going to thank God, who is the giver of all good and perfect gifts. And we're going to pray and we're going to ask God to protect these youngins. But then we're also going to encourage the parents and the family who bring them up to say, we want to bring them up in the Lord. All right? That's what we're here to do. The living illustration today that we're copying really isn't something Jesus did. It's something that Jesus had done for him. In the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 2, after Jesus was born, several times it says they did for him what was according to the law or according to the custom. And in verses 39 and 40, it says this: "So when they had performed all the things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." So the living illustration that we want to do today is as a family, as the immediate family and as the church family, to pray, Lord, fill our children with wisdom and grace. Fill them with strength and protect them. Amen. Isn't that good? Okay. Now, I got a cue that Nani, are you ready? Are you going to stay in here or are you going to go? You have the option. Nani's class, do you want to go with Nani? Yeah, Nani, you're popular, Nani. Who doesn't want it? Ready? Nani's class, ready? Break. Some of these guys, they said, yeah, preacher, it's just too much. It's too much. Too much for us little guys. So, look, the idea of dedicating children goes way back before the time of Jesus, probably the first one that we can think of in a way that we'd think of it, probably was Abraham when he dedicated Isaac and had him, of course he circumcised him, and we're not going to be so detailed. Thank you, Lord. Change is good. But we are going to say thank you, God. And we got four special youngins and their family. And if Abigail and her parentals would come up, and if Everly and would... and hurt would come up, and if Della would come up, and if Luke would come up. These are special children. And guess what? For all these, we get to watch them grow. Y'all, there's a song that we're going to have after service. We're going to try to work it in here, but we'll put it on after service. It's by Rich Mullins, and it's called Let Mercy Lead. And it's the song that we played when my 16-year-old son was dedicated to the Lord. And it's pretty awesome. Do y'all think that you have the coordination and the power to get on stage? Do you think you could do it? There are stairs, but be careful. Y'all, if you're family and friends, let's lose all the dignity that we might have and come close, get a picture, right? Y'all can come on, come closer if you need to. The front rows are open. You know these are the cheap seats in the church, is the front ones. The expensive seats are in the back, but the front ones are the cheap seats here. Do y'all got to get your pictures? And take a picture with your brain. Take a brain picture and say, today is a good day. Today is a good day. And look at how pretty these babies are. Except for Luke, he's manly. Boily. Boily don't sound right. No, it doesn't sound right. Boily doesn't sound right. I'd say my lovely assistant and wife is going to help as we, again, remember what we're doing? We're not doing anything magic. We're praying to the living God, and we're asking Him to be in their life and give strength and wisdom and grace as they grow, okay, and protection. For each of the, I feel like a game show, and for each of our contestants, we have a wonderfully, beautifully bound hardback Bible and a certificate that they still have to put their names on as parents. But that will stand as a reminder that says, yeah, there's some standards on how we raise our youngins. There's some things that we want them to do. There's some, not that we want them to do, but we want some things for them, good things in the Lord. And so we're going to give each this gift. And one of the parents will hold the gift while the other one holds the baby. You got them? We got our pictures. Here's the preacher. Jeez. I carry this bowl. It's in case they get sick. I don't want it to get on me. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, that's yucky, isn't it? I'm sorry. Sometimes I go yucky. There's olive oil in this. And olive oil doesn't serve any kind of purpose except for a symbol. It serves as a symbol to say, Lord, anoint these children. Protect them with your spirit. It's a symbol of protection. But it's a symbol. It's not magic. And our prayer is effective because God is real. And so this is Luke. And these are the Kapapas, and I love them. Izzy and Crystal were youth at Christ Community Church, and I am so proud of them. They work hard. They're a family. They're a Christian family. Whether you find them at church or whether you find them at home, they live and they walk their faith. And I'm so very proud of them. And I'm proud to pray for Luke, who has two older sisters. That's right. He's going to be a well-dressed young man his whole life. I am proud of y'all. I love y'all. Father God, we pray for Luke right now. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would protect him, that you would grow him up strong, that he would be wise, that grace would be upon him, and that you'd give him wisdom from above. Protect and provide for his family his whole life. We dedicate him to you, Lord and Savior. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Next, we have Everly. We call her Evie? We call her Evie. I'm sitting there looking. Her name's Everly, but that's not what I'm like, wait. That's not what we call her. Do y'all got the pictures? You know what? Y'all, if y'all want it, yeah, if y'all want to. And you don't want to go, you're okay. They're like, can we please not stand up here anymore? It'd be all right. So this is with Bo and Hannah, and this is Evie. Evie is one of the friendliest babies you'd ever want to meet. I come across Evie sitting in her car seat, sitting on a table, chilling. And then you go talk to her, and her eyes will pop open, and she's all smiles, man. She's just all smiles. But you know, as our kids grow, we always want to remember to keep raising them, right? Keep praying for them. Keep investing in them. We're proud of Bo and Hannah. And Evie has a big brother, Brantley, and so she'll be well protected. But we're proud of these folks. Proud that they're standing here. Y'all, don't ever take for granted. Don't ever take it for granted. The beauty of being married and being able to raise your children together. It's not something to take lightly, right? And so we're going to pray for Evie now. Father God, I pray for Evie right now. She's such a sweetheart. Lord, just be with her, protect her, make her strong, give her wisdom from above, fill her with grace and strength, and protect her, Lord. Provide for her family and protect her family all the years of her life. Lord, we dedicate her to you. Lord, we pray that all our kids grow up to accept you as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, that's what we pray. We love you. We love her. We love her family. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Anyway. Well, hi, Abigail. How are you, sweetheart? All right. So this is Abigail and her mama, Melissa. And we're so glad that she's here. She's a pretty girl. I have two baby girls, and they can tell you I pray for them every night, and they know. And if I leave anything out, they catch me, and I won't tell you all that I pray for them. But I always thank God that they're strong, that they're smart, and that they're pretty. There's so many things that come against our youngins, especially our young girls. Don't forget to tell them the things that God gave them. They're strong, they're smart, they're pretty, and we should thank God for that, right? And is it ever too late to dedicate your family to the Lord? Is it ever too late to say, what I need to do is dedicate my children to the Lord and dedicate myself to praying and to being with them? No, it's never too late. It's never too late. Let's pray for Abigail. This is just some oil. It doesn't hurt at all, baby. Lord, we pray for Abigail right now. I thank you for her. Father, I pray that you'd be with her, that you'd provide for her family and protect them. Father, that she would grow up to be yours. We dedicate her to you and ask that she would come to know you personally as her Lord and Savior. And Father, that you'd be with her. Fill her with strength and wisdom. May your grace be upon her. And Lord, I just thank you again for her. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. There, you did it. You did good. Be careful. Be careful. You're very welcome. And this little Miss Delabrook, and she's got her big brother with her. And he wants to check that Bible out, but he's already got one. And we're so proud of Cade and Mallory and how they're doing. And they have some family represented here today. If you're with Cade and Mallory and Della, just say whoop whoop. I thought we'd get some whoop whoops out of there. But we're just excited for them. We're excited for the stand of faith they've taken. We're excited for the support that they have within their family. And it reminds me of this. You know, what a blessing it is when our family can help, and what a blessing it is when we're family that we get to help. Right? It's an awesome thing to help your family, to be there, to help raise them, to pray for them, to feed them, to transport them, to babysit them, to do all these things. I think about all these things because Mallory and Cade both have jobs where they work a lot, which is a blessing. But they're able to do these things because their family loves them and supports them. And they're dedicated to raising this girl up, little Miss Delabrook, in the Lord. And these are some of the... Dake is... will come up to you when I've been to his house. He'll just beeline to you and kind of like, hey, what's going on? And he'll give you a big old hug. It's a loving family. It's a loving family. Isn't that awesome? Let's pray. Hi, pretty. Hi, Della. Hi, pretty girl. We're going to pray. Father God, we pray right now for Della. We pray that you'd be with her, that you'd fill her, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Fill her with grace and strength and wisdom and protect her. Oh, she's a pretty girl. And Father, I pray that you just love on her, for her and her family for their entire life. Lord, in everything and everywhere that she finds herself, may she find hope in you, and maybe she look to you and come to give her life to you herself as she grows. And Lord, we love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. Yeah. Amen. Hey, let's again, don't take for granted when we have good days. It's a good day. It's a good day when we have our youngins up here. If I could get some help now. John, and Johnny's here to help me.
Excuse my interruption, but I just want to kind of talk to you for just a moment from my heart. Now, Mr. Bill and I, we're called to be Gideons, just as Pastor John's called to be a pastor. It's a privilege for us to be a Gideon. But you know what really touches our heart? And, we go out into churches, and some churches are very small. We travel long distances because we love God. And God taught me a long time ago that it makes no difference if there's going to be 200 people or there's going to be one person, I'm going. Because I'm committed to go. But when we get to go out and go to these churches, we come back to our home church, and the offering that we took up this morning was $914.
Praise God. Amen.
I've got the money in my pocket. I'll put it in the Gideon's bank account in the morning, I promise. I'm not going to Disney World or anything. Now, I see $914. But what I also see is I see 900 little hands that are reaching out somewhere that want a Bible. And I see 900 Bibles in my pocket that are going out to those little children somewhere around the world because of you folks' generosity and the goodness in your hearts. Amen. God bless you for believing in the Gideons. God bless you for honoring God and obedience to sharing His Word. I love you. Thank you.
I appreciate Johnny sharing that. That still leaves me in the need for help. I'm going to ask those who are getting baptized, if you need to change, go ahead into the room and go ahead and change. But if you're already ready to go, come on up to the front row here. So we're going to have three with us today who are being baptized. And it's a pretty awesome stuff. And if I can get... I really do need some help. Everybody's like, "Right, at least get one guy, just one dude." Okay, let's slide this. Let's take this off, and we're going to slide it behind here. For everybody who didn't know what this was and just thought maybe it was the thing that holds things, it's actually not. It's a baptistry. It's hidden in here. Yeah, and we're going to slide that on right here. Let's see the notch. It goes right there. We'll slide it on. We do the Big John test. Yes, it will work. Go, Aiden and Maggie, go ahead and sit down for a second. Okay, that was good. And if your family, that's good. Thank you, guys. It's not often as a pastor that I have to roll up my sleeves, you know, to get something done. So I'll emphasize it here. You know, I'm going to try not to baptize me. I've been baptized 3 times. Once was before my knowledge. You know, I was baptized as an infant. There's a reason why we don't baptize infants. It's because we believe the Bible teaches that when someone's baptized, they ought to be a believer in Christ, that they ought to be consciously aware that they're following Christ in baptism. We don't look down on people who are baptized as infants. We don't make fun of them like, you know, it's not a point of judgment against anybody or any tradition. But we have ours, and we do it that way, again, following the Word of God and following our conscience. Jesus was baptized, so when we baptize, the living illustration, whereas we prayed for families here and how a family was going to agree with God and their church family to raise their children in the training and the admonition of the Lord, in baptism is an individual thing. These are individuals who have come by faith to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they are making a statement that says, we believe in Him. And because we believe in Him, we are determined to follow Him. And so today they're going to make a public profession of faith, by the very minimum of which is going to be just to state their name, Like, for instance, I'll do mine. I'm John Goldwater, and Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I'm just letting you know what's on the inside. I'm letting you know where I stand with Him. That's what baptism is about. Baptism's not miraculous. It's not a miracle. It's a time when we profess our faith, a faith that's already on the inside, and we let it be known publicly that this is what we believe and that we intend to live a life that's honoring to God. Isn't that cool? I mean, I don't know if y'all get the coolness of it, but I love it. You know, you could read about baptisms, ceremonial cleansings, all the way back in the book of Leviticus in the time of Moses. Jesus Himself was baptized, and He told His church, keep baptizing people. Go you therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And can I tell you what really gets me fired up about baptism? It means that at some point in time, the ministry of Christ Community Church has impacted these folks to the point where either we were the ones who had the privilege of leading them to the Lord that they might be saved, or at least we get to be the church family that helps them to take their first steps in following Christ as Christians. That fires me up. Y'all, don't ever be satisfied in the church if we're not seeing the fruit, if we're not seeing some harvest, if we're not seeing some people who are getting saved and feeling compelled to walk with the Lord. We're not here for nothing. We're here for to give glory to God and to see people get saved. And it's so awesome in a day like today where we can pray for our babies that one day, individually, they'll stand up here and say, yeah, I accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. Yes, I'm going to follow Christ. That's an awesome day. I told you I was baptized 3 times. Once as an infant. Once as a kid who saw other people being baptized at a lake, and I thought it was really cool, and I ran over there kind of like, oh brother, where art thou? I was like, I want to be baptized. They're like, all right. I have no idea what kind. I think it was a Pentecostal church. Might explain why I'm a little weird. You know, anyways. Might explain me a little bit. I don't know. But then when I was 19 years old, so I was a young adult. I was an adult. I came to put my faith in Christ, and I was born again. And after that point, the people who led me to the Lord, they said, come on to church, and they gave me a Bible, and I started reading and learning. And then I realized, I need to follow Christ in baptism. I need to tell folks where I stand, and I just need to follow Christ. That's what we get to see here today. God's still using Christ Community Church. I love it. I love it. Pray for your church. Pray that we'll be a people, a group, where God can bring those who need to hear the gospel and be saved. God desires that all people everywhere be saved. You might say, Pastor, that's just a broad wishful thinking. No, that's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. That's Scripture. I almost want to say, that's Scripture, baby. That ain't just some idealistic preacher saying some stuff out there, that he desires all men everywhere to be saved. That's his word, not my word. Thank you, Lord, for using us. Amen? Amen. Okay. Now, I'm going to shut this one off, and I'm going to hope you all can hear me, but I've destroyed one of these at a different church before. We are baptizing people at for Christ Community Church. Will, you remember, that Will Kissling was being baptized. We're using the First Baptist Church's baptismal. They hooked me up with one of these mics, and they had, you know, I had the whole deal on, like the waiters and all. I mean, I was decked out. They had this deal hooked up to my back of my collar, and they said, shouldn't be no waves or anything happen now. They just forgot that up until then, we only baptized people in a lake. And when you're in a lake, you can do a lot more sloshing around than when you're inside. And so, you know, me not being a little guy and Will not being a little guy, he was the first one of 12 we were going to baptize that day. And it was pretty awesome. But we got down in there. I said, Will, you know, based on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I put him down that water, and that water come up. We heard popping and crackling. I see the sound guy in the back, David Dubard. Y'all might know David. He works for Atmos. David's a good brother, and he does sound over at First Baptist. He's going, oh. Well, I say all that to say, I've learned my lesson. We're going to set this thing aside. So y'all going to have to listen closely.
Three to be baptized today, this morning. We have Maggie Kapapa, we have Aiden Carolla, and we have Jason Mooney. I'm excited. Maggie has been a member of Christ Community Church her whole life, haven't you? I remember when you were born. Maggie and her family have been to Detroit on a mission trip with me. They're awesome. They do devotional. We saw Luke, her little brother, earlier. I'm so happy about this, but I'm not surprised. And Maggie wants to follow the Lord in baptism. Y'all, we act like sometimes it happens by accident. Man, this has been prayed for. It's been demonstrated in her home. And it's just so good. Maggie, will you come up here, please? Now, what we're going to have everyone to say is just going to say your name. Going to say that Jesus, if you've got it in your heart, like you said, just tell all these folks that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Say your name and say that, okay?
I'm Maggie Kapapa, and I've accepted the Lord to be my Lord and Savior.
It's a symbol that shows the faith that we have in Christ, but the symbol of baptism itself is so awesome. It shows the going down of Christ into the grave and the raising of the resurrection. It shows an ending of our old life and coming up to a new life. It's very significant in how it is. So that's why we do it the way we do it. It's just pretty awesome. And so with that in mind, I'm going to ask Aiden if he would come forward. Now, Aiden, he and I got a chance to talk. And the last time we had a baptism, he told his folks that he wanted to be baptized. And so they said, hey, you need to talk to the preacher. You need to talk to Big John. And so while I'm on that point, let me say this. And y'all, Sam, if y'all want to come closer, come on up. Come on up. So as Aiden and I were talking, he was at a BBS. Y'all don't ever underestimate what God might do at a BBS. BBS doesn't almost sounds old-fashioned. Like, oh, y'all do BBS? We do, because, and this wasn't at our BBS, by the way. This was at the BBS of another church. But the gospel was presented, and they heard it, and he believed in Christ as a Savior. And he'll share that in a moment. You know, he'll share saying that his, what his name is, and that Jesus is his Lord and Savior. But when we shared, I instantly understood something about Aiden. He was serious about God. He was serious about his faith. This was something he understood. It wasn't just a matter of him saying, oh, I'm coming up here and just doing whatever. I just want to be baptized because everybody else is baptized. I said, why do you want to be baptized? And I asked him about his sin. And I asked him about what Christ had done at every point. He wasn't just giving me little child answers. He was explaining. He was explaining that what he understood. He was explaining what he understood about who he was, and that sin was real to him, that Christ had died for his sins, and that Christ was indeed alive from the dead. And so it was exciting. It's exciting to get to meet him. Now, maybe you have a chance to give your public professional faith, which is just to say your name.
My name is Aiden Carroll, and Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Jason Looney, I've accepted Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. But however, I am just going to say, you know, it took me 37 years to get here. There's a lot of people in here, a lot older, a lot of people in here, a lot younger. You know, God don't have it. Any time is good. So you can accept Jesus Christ at any age. So if you haven't done it, I ask you to do it, because it'll change your future.
Jason's being baptized. His family's right here watching. They're watching Daddy leave. You know, I think that ought to be pointed out in that heavens. I think it's a great thing. Amen? Amen. Jason, because of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's my privilege and my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
This time, thank you for the opportunity we've had to have a good day, to watch you do things, to watch the fruit of what you're doing in the hearts of people. We can't read minds, we can't read hearts, we can't look inside, but you can. And when you do a work inside, you've allowed for a way for us to see Him through praying and giving, through dedicating in our parenting, and to following you in baptism and obedience. Lord, we love you. Thank you for what we witnessed today. Help us to remember that it was a good day. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this offering. We pray that you would use it for your glory, that more people might get saved right here, that more families would be raised up in here, and Father, that there would be a place preaching the gospel. Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
reminding the broken it'll be all right. But right now, oh, right now I just can't. It's easy to see when there's nothing to bring me down. But what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am?
Y'all gonna do another song too? No, okay, good. That's good. Y'all did really good. It's days like today that I'm reminded of all the everybody who helps at church, and I just want to say thank you to them because you know you saw Brian, but it reminds me of the folks who are who are, you know, for the band who's leading us in song, to the folks in the sound booth, to everybody, those who are making cookies and coffee and handing out donuts and teaching classes and doing so many other things, driving the bus, doing all these things. It's a team effort, and I just want to say thank you, and I thank God for the team at Christ Community Church. So give yourselves a hand. That's for everybody. Just to reiterate, we are not having Wednesday night service this Wednesday, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. We'll pick up. We'll be on regular schedule the week following, and so just keep that in mind. If you show up here on Wednesday, this Wednesday, and there's nobody here, don't panic. We're at home chilling. It probably wasn't the rapture, okay? It's going to be all right. But if you're worried about the rapture, you might want to ask, Lord, you know, we cool, you know, because that'll take that worry right out of the window. With that being said, I'm going to ask, I don't know if we can do it, but there's a video. After I'm done playing, we're going to cue up the video that I mentioned that has the song that we played during Joshua's dedication, as baby dedication. It's a Rich Mullen song, and we have the video for that. And so when I'm done praying and I dismiss, if you want to stay and watch it, that's fine. If not, it's okay. Service will be over after we say ready, break. All right? So let me pray for us. Let me tell you, I love you all. Thanks for letting me be your pastor. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity we had to share a good day together. A day where we saw faith in families, faith in individuals, hear about a mission of getting the Word of God to everybody in the world. And Lord, we love you. We give you all the praise. Help us to be thankful for these good days. And we give you all the praise again. In Jesus' name, amen. Ready, break.